going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Dylan Gabriel, quarterback from the University of Central Florida for 3 years, from Oklahoma for 2 years, and his final year playing quarterback for the Oregon Ducks, where he lit it up and played really good football. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over here is Andy Baskin. Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When we want stuff out of Oregon, well, there's nobody better to talk to than the man who's been calling Oregon Ducks athletics since when, Jerry? 1987?
Yeah, 87 was that first lucky year for me.
Congratulations. Jerry Allen joining us, voice of the Ducks. Good to have you with us, Jerry.
Thanks. It's great to be talking to you. Just for the pure, well, there's two reasons. Dylan Gabriel's going to be a Cleveland Brown. And a guy I graduated from high school with was an all-pro defensive tackle for the Browns back in the late 60s, Jerry Shirk.
Gotta like that.
72, yeah. Baby. 72. Yeah.
What high school, Jerry?
Grants Pass High School in Southern Oregon.
Very nice. One of my best buddies is from Grants Pass, Oregon, and apparently you know his brother, so that's really good. I like that a lot. Dylan Gabriel was there for 1 year. How good was he at Oregon, and were you surprised he went in the third round?
No, not surprised. Because of what he's accomplished everywhere he's been, he's been successful. And that's, you know, with a little bit of height disadvantage, which, you know, a lot of people want to point to right away. But he worked around it. He found ways to use his disadvantage of height to his advantage. I think he's a very smart football player, great vision, a very calm guy in the pocket. So he doesn't get rattled, and he takes time to see what's out there. And so I watched him do that, only that 1 year at Oregon, watched a lot of film on him before then. And he just has, you know, you call it that it factor. He finds a way to make plays, extend plays. And he has a great, great relationship with his receivers. I mean, one of the first things he did, he got to Oregon late spring, before spring ball. And he needed to build some kind of a relationship with his offense. So he gathers them up, takes him on a 200-mile trip down to Southern Oregon on the Rogue River, a big ranch down there, and spent 3 or 4 days with him just playing football, basketball, getting him all kinds of shirts, shoes, and hats, took him on a big jet boat right down the river, barbecues. He bonded with him, and they came back from that, and they respected him because he didn't come in as, I'm the star quarterback. He came in as, I need you guys, and he's just that kind of a personality.
I got to tell you, I listened to his interview on the Browns Radio Network after he got drafted on Saturday morning, and I could not have been more impressed. You know, for me, just to be able to see him on the other side of the Ohio State games was one thing. To hear him, I mean, this kid's got his stuff together, doesn't he? I mean, I was blown away. But normally, interviews don't blow me away, but I just listened to the interview. I was like, wow, this kid sounds like he's way older than his years.
Yeah, he's got that Polynesian blood, and they are people. I listened to Dylan, and I think Marcus Mariota, and the way he handled the media, the way he handled the fans, and his stature was not me. It was thank you for letting me be in here and my team. And that's kind of what Dylan's like. He he's not there to be the star. He's there to help the guys around him succeed. And so what you heard in that interview is the real guy.
Jerry Allen's joining us. He's the voice of the Oregon Ducks. Over the last handful of years, you have called games that featured Dylan Gabriel at quarterback, Bo Nix, Tyler Shuck, Justin Herbert. Obviously, you got a couple of guys there who have done just fine for themselves in Herbert and Bo Nix. We'll see about Tyler Shuck, and we'll see about Dylan Gabriel. Do you think, having watched Herbert, Nix make that transition to the NFL, that Gabriel can make that transition, Jerry? Do you think he has NFL qualities, or do you think his size is going to be such a disadvantage that he's not going to be able to reach maybe what his potential could be?
Well, you know, size is going to be a little bit of an issue, but he didn't let that be an issue in the Big 10, Big 12. Everywhere he's been, he's had that disadvantage. He's had big defensive linemen and guys coming at him, and he's had to find throwing lanes. He's had to scramble. So he's already succeeded in finding ways to do what he wants to do. And I think a lot of it has to do with the coaching, especially this last year at Oregon. I think Dan Lanning and his staff really have prepared their quarterbacks and the guys who make it to the next level for what they're going to be facing with the right attitude and the right attributes. And so Justin Herbert's just a freak. He's just really good, and it was fun watching him. And he really didn't get to do what he wanted to do up until the last few games of his senior year because they're trying to protect him. When we saw him in that Rose Bowl against, I think, Wisconsin, he turned loose and he was something special. So I think Dylan Gabriel, given that he's already shown the ability to rise to the occasion in every situation, I think he'll find a way. And a lot will depend on coaching. A lot will depend on the talent that he has around him, the kind of protection he has. But he's been able to do it so far at every level. I really believe he'll be able to do it. As a starting quarterback, I don't know. I'm not going to go there. I'll just be thrilled and happy, and I think he will be too, to make the team and be a part of the success of the Browns.
What did you think when the Browns drafted Shedeur Sanders, and then what did that mean for the battle that he's about to face?
First of all, I was along with everybody else. It's like, wow, how can he still be available? And then when the Browns picked him, I said, oh, wait a minute, could have been anybody else in the NFL. Why do you got to send him to the same place that Gabriel's going to go? You know?
That's funny.
Yeah.
But Dylan would look at it as, yeah, okay, if he's good and he can help us, we'll work together. He's not going to be bothered by the fact that somebody's going to be there competing with him. I think it was good for the Browns to get Shedeur, because if they can mold him, if they can bring him in to the player he could be a special talent, because he is really good. He's just kind of he's a little bigger than life, and great coaching staff and teammates will bring him down a little bit, and we'll see. It's going to be an interesting battle.
Jerry Allen's joining us. He's the radio voice of the Oregon Ducks and obviously called Dylan Gabriel's games last year. One thing about Dylan at 5'11 that I think, well, this is an interesting stat to go along with a guy who's not very tall in stature. His touchdown to interception ratio wasn't just good at Oregon. It was good every year he played at UCF, at Oklahoma. That to me, Jerry, might be the most telling thing about a guy. You know, if you talk about it, and you, as you mentioned, you know, he's overcome this at other levels. He doesn't seem to throw the ball away. I mean throw it to the other team.
Yeah, he's not a gambler. Which I think speaks to his intelligence of knowing what he has and what he doesn't have. You're not going to see a lot of happy feet back there. Some guys get a little happy, and then they'll launch that ball and wish they didn't. Dylan's pretty calm in the pocket, and it's always surveying the field. I can't tell you how many times he would take off running, and we'd say, okay, he's got blockers in front of him, going to get the first down, and then all of a sudden he dumps the ball to a tight end or a running back out of the backfield, and they get a big gain. He always is looking downfield. He never gives up. And so I think that's part of what he's been able to do. What, I'm not going to say a height limitation, but he knows he's got to create plays and uses his legs and his feet to do it. And he kind of reminds me a little. I know, like, I know somebody said, like Tua. Tua is kind of that same body build. He's going to bulky. He can run strong. But his vision and his football intelligence, reading the defense and understanding where everybody is, Not all quarterbacks can do that. Some are really good at it. Some are stronger. Some are better throwing the ball. Some are better running. The only thing Dylan Gabriel doesn't have is two or three more inches.
Jerry Allen's joining us. He's the radio voice of the Oregon Ducks. It's obvious because Dylan's from Hawaii. Marcus Mariota's from Hawaii. Marcus went to Oregon. Dylan ends up at Oregon. But Dylan has talked about how Marcus Mariota has been a big factor in his career and has helped him and kind of his mentor. What do you know about that relationship, and how do you think it helps a guy like Dylan Gabriel?
Well, I think Marcus probably helped a lot of those guys from Hawaii, the Polynesian guys. I mean, they're a tight-knit family. And for Dylan to grow up and watch Marcus handle himself the way he did, I think Dylan probably obviously saw the talent that Marcus had. But then Dylan's pretty sharp cookie, and he's realizing, wow, this guy's a nice person. This guy speaks with respect. This guy's family. And I think some of that plays on guys who are growing up and wanting to be like somebody. Now, if you're watching a guy who's brash and talks a lot and is an all-star and is always out there, I think some young people would go, I want to be like that. But I think Dylan saw Marcus as the kind of person he wanted to be, the Polynesian kid. They've got that respect born in their family. And yeah, they're good friends. They talk a lot, and it's really cool to see that connection.
Oregon beat UCLA this year 34-13. The Browns, with their second pick, number 33 overall, took a guy that was a leading tackler in that game named Carson Schlesinger, a linebacker. Can you recall anything from that game, and do you remember him standing out on the field?
Yeah, he was all over the place. Yeah. I love guys that can move laterally, keep their eyes ahead, you know, fight off blocks and get to the ball. And he was really good at that. He was a difference maker. I think the Browns would probably use him very effectively. There's some guys when you play teams, I'll be honest, Ohio State had a bunch of those guys. And kudos to the Buckeyes. When they played Oregon in that semi game, they were locked and loaded and ready to go. And Oregon was out of a rhythm, hadn't played football for almost a month, and this could not handle Ohio State. Ohio State's got some of those guys too. But yeah, I think Cleveland, I like their picks. I've always been a Brownie fan going back to the 60s and early 70s when my buddy Jerry Shirk was there. So I always always watch and hope that they're going to do well.
Well, we hope you're right. Jerry, how do you think Dylan responds to what looks like a wide-open quarterback competition? You've got Kenny Pickett. You've got Joe Flacco. They're not guaranteed anything. Neither is Dylan. Neither is Shedeur Sanders. I think this is an NFL team that's thinking, please, please, somebody show us that you're better than these other guys and should be the starting quarterback. How does Dylan Gabriel handle that?
You know, it'll be interesting because he hasn't had to do that for a while. You know, he hasn't had to compete or fight off guys trying to get a job. He's been the man. So how do you handle, you know, being one of four or five guys all starting from scratch trying to get to that level? I don't know. That's a great question. I think he has the mindset and the personality to accept the challenge. I mean, he did come into Oregon knowing that he was a new guy replacing Bo Nix. How do I fit in? How do I make it work? And he did it pretty effectively at Oregon. So I think he'll step up and just do what he does, you know, not get too rattled about it or too upset. Just trying to make it happen. I'm anxious to see how he does handle it because, again, he hasn't had a really battle for a starting position for a long time.
Jerry, great to have you with us, and thank you for the insight on Dylan Gabriel. We're looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Hey, I appreciate the time to talk about him. He's a good kid. You're going to like him.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, guys.
Jerry Allen, the voice of the Oregon Ducks, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
At Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric, we make home service easy. We guarantee same-day service and installation with no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays. Family-owned for 53 years, Four Seasons has over 30,000 five-star Google reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. For all your plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical needs, for all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I do think the Browns have set us up for an absolutely fascinating, what is it, Andy? 6 months, May, June, July, August, 4 months leading up to the start of the season. By the way, start of the season's just over 4 months away.
Okay, so
can you even believe?
Yeah, I can believe that. But I also think, you know, the Browns really pride themselves on keeping things in-house, especially things like the trade, like the first trade to move back for off of number two. I mean, that had been pretty much consummated on April 7th, and no one had it, right? Nobody had it. And, you know, for a team that likes that, I'm wondering how is that going to play out with Shedeur Sanders? Because, look, let's face it, your fifth-round draft pick is the biggest name of all of them. Now, inside the football world, it's not, but it's the biggest name across the board because he fell. And that even non-football fans were taking a look at this going, hey, what's wrong with Deion Sanders' kid? Why aren't they taking him? Why wouldn't anybody take them? You know, people that didn't know anything about football kept kind of popping in to try to figure out exactly what is the deal. What is the deal? And I also think it's interesting just to kind of take a look around. And I know, and it's just a reference point. You know, we had this long conversation with Chris Rose a while back about, you know, should you look at draft grades or not? Did you look at anybody's draft grades?
Yeah.
You did. Okay, so I did too, and I just I mean, Mel Kiper obviously was going to be ecstatic. Whoever took Shedeur Sanders was probably going to get an A.
And they got an A+.
And they got an A+ from
Browns
him.
Browns had the highest rank from Mel Kiper. Chad Ryder from NFL.com
yeah.
gave him a B+.
Yeah, I saw that.
They didn't get trashed in any of the rankings I saw.
No, and the Athletic said they had the second best draft only to the New England Patriots. So... Again, you're
well, obviously Vrabes took information with him.
That's all. Pro football. That's your guy.
Coach Vrabes.
You have no idea how silly you sound. Just
oh, no, I have a pretty good idea.
No, you're silly. PFF, profootballfocus.com. This is the worst letter grade that I found out. There was a C+. Sports Illustrated gave
them. Why'd they give him a C+?
I knew you were going to ask me that because I didn't have it called up. But nice. Because it wasn't the most interesting grade that I thought they had. Sports Illustrated gave them an A-. The one I thought that was interesting was USA Today. They didn't even give them a grade. They gave them a question mark and an I for
that's
incomplete.
That's a good one.
And it said, think this assessment is a cop-out, fine, but there's no legitimate way to know what to make of this until the bigger picture comes into focus at least a year from now. It's tough to even know where to begin. And then they go into what happened over the weekend.
There are a couple of things I really like about the draft. Number one, and stick with me on this one. Number one, I like the trade of the number two pick because they got a great return for it. Great return. You only dropped down three spots, and you picked up a second-round pick, which you turned into your starting running back. And you picked up a number one next year, and goodness knows where that thing ends up. I mean, that could be a good pick. And you know, somebody sent me an email and said, you know, hey, you're getting a pick next year. Well, there's no way that Jacksonville pick, you know, is going to get you Arch Manning because they, you know, they'll probably be like 15th. And it's people are missing the point on that. It's trade two picks and move up if you want to try and get somebody.
And you probably could give up your next year's first round pick if you wanted to. And so it's but
you could give up. Yeah,
it doesn't hurt nearly as much as you know trading three for Deshaun Watson.
Well, with all the money too.
I mean. The Jaguars have been a second or third place team, I mean, pretty much since all but twice since 08.
Hard to imagine the Jags suddenly becoming upper echelon in the NFL in 1 year. So that pick should be something.
Yeah, they've had now, one 10-win season since 08.
That said, though I understand the great haul that they received, if they're wrong on the Travis Hunter assessment, and you had to be wrong... Well, let me take that back. You had to think that he's not going to become the type of talent that some people have suggested. Otherwise, you just stay there and pick him. Do you not?
Yes.
So if
they knew they were trading him on the 7th.
Well, that because they knew that they didn't want him. I mean, they didn't want Travis Hunter because they traded the pick.
But he was a unicorn. Over and over again.
Maybe. Let's find out. If the guy turns into an absolute beast and is phenomenal and blah, 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 5 years down the road, it might look like a bad trade. But I understand why they made the trade. They better be right that Hunter does not become...
It's going to look like a bad trade week one if Travis Hunter has an unbelievable game.
But that's...
People are going to be all over it, overreacting.
Exactly. Yeah. That's just overreaction. So that's part of it. I like the fact that they drafted two running backs. You're going to give Kevin Stefanski the weapons that he needs to run his type of an offense. And I like both running backs. I think they're very good. Harold Fannin, we'll see. Well, we'll see. He's a different type of tight end. I've seen him labeled as out of the Jonnu Smith mold. And Jonnu's had a productive NFL career. I don't think he's going to become Brock Bowers. I don't think he's going to become Travis Kelce. But I think he can be helpful in the offense and do a lot of different things. So I like that.
And he's only 20.
Yeah, he's young. The wide receiver situation, I'm not going to give him a pass on this. If they wanted to draft a wide receiver, I think they needed to draft one in day one or day two. And after that, Andy, it wasn't considered a great draft for wide receivers. And okay, rather than just throw a pick at a wide receiver who may or may not work out, this organization has not judged wide receivers well under Andrew Berry. I mean, let's be fair about that. David Bell hasn't panned out yet. Anthony right. Schwartz didn't pan out at all. And Cedric Tillman has looked good in a short period of time and then became concussed. So this organization does not have a great track record. And we've heard about Michael Woods. That's nothing against Michael. That's great. We've heard about Thrash. That's great. Young wide receivers come into the league and sometimes have an impact. And the Browns haven't drafted one yet. Tillman's the closest thing, and he's had like five games. So once you got past the second round in a draft that wasn't high on wide receivers, you were throwing a dart at it anyway, hoping to get lucky. So I hope they throw a lot of darts at some of the veterans who are still out there. I hope Andrew Berry does what he does best and trade for a wide receiver here. Would you bring Amari Cooper back if Amari were willing and you thought he still had anything left?
Yeah, what are you paying him? I mean, if you're not paying him
$20 million.
No, so, I mean, if he's looking for a team and you need someone to kind of fill in the number three or number four spot, yeah, I would. He didn't have a great year last year.
No, he did not. He did not have the impact in Buffalo they were hoping for.
But if you put him with Joe Flacco, that could change the whole dynamic.
He was really good with Flacco.
But both
guys then are 2 years older, Andy. That's the one thing we need to remember, A, about Amari, because he's in his lower 30s, and for a wide receiver, that can get up there a little bit sometimes. And sorry, pretty soon Father Time's going to tell Joe Flacco it's time to go back to the couch. I mean, it is.
Sure.
Is it this year? Is it next year? Is it 3 years from now? I don't know. The guy can still throw it, but we'll see. Bill's in Parma. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. I really enjoyed the discussion today. I'm going to just to take the other side. I thought it was a horrible draft, as a matter of fact. And I thought it was a draft of typical Harvard graduate with a guy out in San Diego kind of thing, that they're smarter than everybody else, and then because of that, they do stupid things, of which for a team that was one of the worst teams in football is going to have to live with now. If you look at it, they got 9 draft picks, 2 running backs, 2 quarterbacks, so almost half of it was with, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, running backs were dime a dozen. They weren't even worth paying. You get them off the scrap heap. And now we've got 2 quarterbacks, a 5'11" guy, left-hander, and a guy that everyone else in the league says something's wrong. But no, we don't think so. No, we thought Deshaun
Watson. Well, you drafted him in the 5th, though, Bill.
I know, but still, this is my concern about the Browns, is that these running backs need to run behind a very good line. And why didn't they get the line taken care of? Because even if you have young quarterbacks, if you want to give the Sanders kid a chance, put a good line in front of him. And you know what? They didn't even do that. You know, and you look at all the areas that they have deficits in. This is why, you know, good teams like the Steelers, they look at what needs to be done, and they get it done. And what's going to happen next year during training camp? It's going to be just an awful show. It's going to be awful. It's all going to be Sanders, 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 Sanders. And, you know, this
grade, I'm not convinced of that, Bill. I'm really not.
That's what you're talking about today.
It's what we're talking about today, but I don't think that's going to happen. We're also talking about Dylan Gabriel. We had two guests talking about Dylan Gabriel.
Neither one of these
Bill,
guys.
I think you're right. I do think the I mean, we're talking about the fifth-round pick. We're not talking about the second-round pick.
Nope.
We'll barely talk about any of the other picks. Everything is going to be all about – but, I mean, part of it is just the nature of the beast. It's quarterback. Forget about the last name that's attached to it. It's quarterback, and you're always going to talk quarterback. But if he rolls in here with cameras – and it's a.
I don't think the Browns are going to allow that, Andy.
I don't think they are either. But I mean, it, you know,
if it's a problem, you cut him.
No, that's true. I mean, that's the beauty. And if he's a fifth round pick, but they needed other. They needed more help. I agree.
They needed more help. And, yeah. and this is the problem with this team. You guys, it's staring you right in the face. Look at the Chiefs. Look at the Chiefs. Granted, they got their quarterback, but they got a running back now that does 4.38. He used to be a wide receiver. Now they've got a running back who they're going to use as a kind of a back out of the a receiver out of the backfield. They got Simmons. Simmons was a top 10 until he hurt. And you look at a team that functions like that, and they filled other areas, and you say to yourself, why are these guys wasting two picks, fourth and a fifth rounder, or third and a fifth rounder on these guys? These guys will never play anytime in the NFL. Guarantee it.
All right, Bill. I'm glad you know more than the scouts. Some folks
hang on. Before you make a remark like that.
Well, no.
He knows the history of what this team is.
Sure.
And in some ways, I kind of respect him a little bit. I mean, he comes from the outside in. It's not like he's a diehard Browns fan looking at it. And some of the things that he said, I think, are worth noting and worth looking at.
Without question. But and we said earlier.
And by the way, scouts are wrong all the time, too. I mean.
Without question.
Yeah.
But. If scouts were wrong, maybe they were wrong on Gabriel. Maybe they were wrong on Sanders, and maybe they both should have gone in the first or second round. I don't know.
I don't know. I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with the words coming out of your mouth. But I also think that let's just say you're a quarterback. Let's just say only six teams need a quarterback. So now you've got 12 chances in the first two rounds to get drafted. Because if they need something else, they're not going to draft a quarterback, and that might be high to say that.
I liked Cam Ward, and I liked him a lot. I think Cam Ward's going to be an interesting and a good NFL quarterback. After that, the guy that I was most high on was Jackson Dart. Well, they both went in the first round, as it turns out. After that, I don't think there's a quarterback that went in this draft who I think, yep, that guy's a star. I think that guy can be the guy. And I'm not even sure if Jackson Dart can be that guy. So what did they do? The Browns need a quarterback. Whether it's this year or next, they need a quarterback. Whether Deshaun Watson comes back and figures it out, I don't think that's going to happen. You need a quarterback. Browns have four guys going into training camp who will end up competing for this job. And somebody's going to win it, and we'll see how he does as the starting quarterback. If I had to handicap it, and we did earlier, I think Kenny Pickett's got a 60% chance. I'm giving Flacco 20, and I'm giving the rookies 10% each. And I don't think gambling a fifth-round pick on a quarterback who some folks thought was one of the best players in the draft is a terrible gamble. If they had taken Shadur early, I'd have a different feel on this, but they didn't. And so the kid will come in, he'll have a chance to compete. Same thing with Dylan Gabriel. If they don't work out, they don't work out. It's not like you mortgage the franchise like you did for the other quarterback. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.